Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Ellen D. recently moved to Hawaii from Seattle. She now attends and serves with her whole heart at C4, Christ-Centered Community Church, where she was recently baptized. And we're here just to let you know that God loves you. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is for that very purpose, just for you. If you've been searching for the Lord, we want you to know that He loves you, He knows you, so much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to shed His blood on that cross, to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today, dear one, calls you to Himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus, like Ellen has? You know, she has gone through times of great pain, great suffering. And she'll share a little bit about that as we move forward today. Ellen, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Germany. My father was in the military, so I grew up in Germany. And then I moved to Seattle and had most of my childhood there, too, just my teen years.
Now, did you learn to speak German?
Just a little bit. Like the basics.
Like how somebody would come to Hawaii and maybe learn a few words, local style, pidgin.
Yes, like good morning, guten tag.
Well, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
The spirit I had in my heart and my parents.
How? Your mom and dad?
Yeah. They just had never given up on me. My father was in the military, and we didn't get to see him a lot because he's always out serving in war or just being away for a long period of time. He had moved to Korea, just different parts of the world. But they had so much, they had challenges, but through those challenges, they had so, they just never let go, even those challenges. And today, it's just made them a better version of them. And through God. So growing up, my parents had, you know, it was really important for them to put me and my sisters into a private all-girl Catholic school. So I grew up in there, and God has always been important in our lives. Praying, eating around a table with our family. I don't think we've never gone a day without having dinner, breakfast, lunch, as a family around a table, praying, laughing, crying, everything. And so it's just... It's where my strength had come from. At the times that I wasn't feeling the spirit, but they had always had, without telling me, had always just guided me back there. So
you came to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things that happened that led to your eventually coming here. Share a little bit about your children. You have two children.
Yes, I have a 9-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter. Two different dads, two different fathers, and we both born in Seattle. My daughter's dad I was in an abusive relationship for several years, and in that relationship, every day I had to think about like, okay, how am I going to live today? And that was the only thing on my mind. And I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. I wasn't allowed to talk to my family, my friends. He would give me orders on when I could see my family again. And it was every other weekend. And I wasn't allowed to say anything. And I don't think I'd ever been so scared for my life. And I was. I never said that I had told myself that, oh gosh, I just want to die. But I have told myself many times, I am so tired. But I kept going, and I kept, it was just like a fight for this life, but in that relationship, his, we didn't live together for a couple years, but in the I started living with him because I used to take care of his mom. His mom had no working kidneys, and she had to dialyze every day, and it was the one person that he cherished so much in his life. His father was an abusive man to his mom, and was addicted to drugs and alcohol, but he became that way too, and he does not like his father. But anyways, I'd help him take care of his mother. I would help her dialyze every day. I would take her to her appointments, and I just had this heart, like I couldn't leave her. And I ended up moving in with him. And when I moved in with him, I saw a completely different side of this person that I'd known for already 2 years. Completely different. Like, I had no idea who he was. The abuse started. And it started when the one day that I took my son to his dad's house, he did not like that. So he had followed me, and I didn't know. It was nighttime, and I picked up my son, and he started driving us off the freeway, off the road. And I was so scared that, it's weird, because it was the first time, like, out of fear that I had thrown up all over myself. And I was so scared. And just since then, he had told me that, you know, you're never gonna leave me. And if you're gonna try, you should watch out, because you're always gonna be here with me, okay? And I said, okay. And I think in my mind, the only thing I could really think about was, how am I going to live and keep my son alive and keep my family and friends safe? That was on my mind for 4 or 5 years. So I didn't, I just followed his rules. I cooked what he wanted. The temperature had to be correct. I cut the grass. I had to fold his laundry, no wrinkles. I had to color coordinate everything. And it just, any little thing could change his mood. And it happened a lot. And I didn't realize that that he was so addicted to drugs. I didn't know what it was like to be addicted to drugs, because I've never done that. But he was addicted to drugs, and I realized that when he wasn't on the drugs is when it was really a scary time for me, that he almost had needed that so that I would be safe. I've had a gun in my mouth many times. I've had knives thrown at me. I've had black eyes, bloody noses, punches in the stomach, kicked down the stairs, hot soup poured over my head, just anything. And then the words, he'd had many bad words for me. And and my daughter, who is 5 today, is here today, yes, because God created her. That's my perspective today, because I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ. But then I was raped. He was really drunk, and he had tied me down, and he had raped me. And I was really upset. I had many conversations with God. I thought that he was upset at me. And I remember just the only place I had my alone time was in my car. And I would sit in my car, and I would ask him, why God? Are you mad at me? And I would just say sorry for everything that I've done. Like, every little thing that I could think of. I'm sorry, God, for this. I'm sorry, God, for this. And what can I do? What can I do for you to love me again? And I just felt like I just lost his love. You know, growing up in an all-girl private Catholic school, I had always, you know, prayed. I'd always gone to church with my family. But I had felt like I had lost that connection. And I went in my car that day after I had been raped. A couple days later, I didn't tell anybody, but I drove myself to an abortion clinic. And I remember sitting there, and I had, just looking around, and I had just many girls around me, some showing, you know, like, you can see their bellies, and some not, and some smiling, some crying, some just really quiet. But I remember just sitting there feeling like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? And when you get an abortion, they take you in the back and they counsel you for about an hour. And I remember just going back there, and I didn't sit down. I just said, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm not going to do this today. And I had walked out, and I just sat in my car for like 2 hours. And I said, okay. And just start talking to God again. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like, you don't, I don't want to do this. And I was raped, and it's not this child's fault. So, okay, I'm going to do everything that I can to protect my two kids. And so, from that moment on, I thought that, like, okay, if he, when he finds out that I'm pregnant, that he, there's no chance that he would hurt me. There's no chance. There's a child in me.
A child is growing. It's going to grow in the womb of Ellen D. And it's in the midst of tremendous fear, unspeakable, unthinkable fears. And founded and grounded on reality because of her past experiences. When we come back, she'll share the process of what God began to show her, teach her, how God spoke to her, this God who she had known about growing up, but God is at this time, or that time when those long moments, a couple hours in the car, having left the abortion clinic, having changed her mind. She'll share more about that experience and more when we come back. You don't want to miss this now. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
From time to time, we have guests in studio with us, and the depth or the level or the breadth of what they're sharing is so deep, so heart-gripping, wrenching, that it's... I want to just let you know that there is pain that is being shared, but the redemptive part of it is such that I believe the Lord allows us to hear these things to get a greater or deeper glimpse into the hearts and lives of people. You know, so often we look on the outside and everybody seems fine. Of course, we know that it's not always just fine because things are not always fine with us. But when you hear what Ellen D. has gone through, and the fear that she's had to live in, and what's happened inside of her, physically, as well as in a moment, spiritually, well, it's our hope that you will find great hope in Christ, as she has. You can find out more about this show. You can get it in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Ellen, when you went through this, you left the abortion clinic, said you changed your mind. You know, it was a mistake that you came. You're in the car for a couple of hours. What did that conversation with God sound like?
It was just a lot of, okay, I got this. I can do this. It's not this child's fault, and I'm going to do everything in my power to protect this child, everything. And I left there feeling like that. I left there like with this fire of like, I'm going to do everything to protect this child. And I had no idea what that meant, but that was it.
It grew, a resolve, a calling, a strength grew inside you.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. After leaving that abortion clinic, it wasn't fixed, it wasn't solved, it wasn't easy. I told her dad that I'm pregnant, and he was really upset. He abused me again, and of course, you know, when I was raped, he was on drugs, he was drunk, so he refuses to believe that he had done that to me. But he wanted to get rid of the baby, and he would do that by kicking me in my stomach, punching me many times, kicking me down the stairs, just all these terrible things. And man, God was with us, because my daughter, she is the strongest little girl I had ever met today. But yes, throughout that time, she, it was that protection mode, not only for her, but for my son too. And I thought, okay, so when I was 7 months pregnant, I work for Microsoft. And when I was 7 months pregnant, I would walk from work to about a mile and a half to this country club that, like the pro sports club. It's like a gym that had everything in it, and they do your laundry in there. But I would walk there, 7 months pregnant, about a mile and a half there and a mile and a half back, because I wasn't allowed to drive to work, so I would sneak out my time and take this. They had a one-month self-defense class, and I took it. I didn't say anything, I just took it. And I was just, I think softly, like in my mind, I was planning my departure. I'm going to get out of this relationship. Mm-hmm. Before, my perspective, my conditioning was, okay, I can't go anywhere, so I'm going to do everything that I can to live. But now it was, I have kids I need to protect, and this place is not good for us, so I'm going to get out of it. And I'm going to live. And so I thought that my plan was, okay, after I give birth, that I'm just going to pack up and leave. I'm going to have everything ready, and I'm just going to tell him, goodbye, you're never going to see us again, and get the heck out of there. And of course, that wasn't that easy. So 3 months, so she was 3 months old, gave birth to her, she was 3 months old. And I remember just sitting on a rocking chair holding my little baby, and I said, I told her, Dad, we're leaving, and I'm done with this. You can't, please get help. Like, you can't keep hurting me like this. Do you want to keep on doing this? And he'd left, and then he'd punched me in my face, and while he punched me in my face, he had also hit his daughter in the head. And I knew at that time, that the only way to really get out, honestly, was to fight. And I knew that I was going to fight. So I was ready. I was prepared to fight him. And when you're going through that, you have so much adrenaline that you lose I'd lost every thought I had from that self-defense class. I didn't remember anything from it. I rolled my daughter into a closet And he proceeded to beat me. He took off all my clothes. He raped me, kicked me. And suddenly, this one thing that I had remembered in self-defense class was play dead. So, which was so hard. It's being still is the hardest thing to do. And I was still, and my insides were just crying. I was so scared. And I remember feeling his face, like, come closer to mine, just to, I think to see if I was, like, to feel if I was breathing or if I would wake up. And then he kicked me a couple times. And then I just laid there, dead. And I could hear Tally, my daughter, crying in the closet. And he had went downstairs. He left. He didn't leave the house, but downstairs is where he would do his drugs. And he was tearing everything apart, like pulling out the phone cord from the wall, flipping over couches, everything. And at that moment when he did that, I got Tally quietly, and I went out the front door on a rainy day, and I was completely naked, running as fast as I could with my daughter knocking on every door, and one person had opened up the door, and I said, "Sir, I just need to use your phone," and he'd let me in, and he gave me a towel, and I called the cops. When the cops had come, and this is the first time in the years that I've been with him through the abuse that I had called the cops, I was not scared anymore. I mean, I've gone this far. I knew that I was going to fight this guy. I was ready to do whatever it took to get out of that home. And the cops were so upset. And they were like, "Do you know who you've been with?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "This man's been in jail 33 times. Drugs, alcohol, domestic violence, assault, robbery." And I was so scared. I feel that I was built, and it's still like this today, that I'm going to be your best friend when I see you and I meet you and I hug you. You are my family already. And that's just, I can't change that. But I tried to at that moment. After the cops had told me that, it had scared me. I was scared to meet people, and I was scared to be around people. And I went to court for a couple of years, and it was really trying. It was really hard. It was really scary because I had to see him again. And it wasn't over. He wasn't in jail yet because, you know, the judge, when you go to court and you're talking about these things, they're upset that two parents can't get along for the sake of their children. So they have to evaluate you. They have to evaluate your life, and the evaluation took a year. And the evaluation consisted of talking to my friends, my family, my job, seeing how I live, seeing how I treat my kids, just seeing who I am and learning of my history, everything. And they did the same for him. Now through that year, he didn't want to do this before when I had her, but he fought to have her in court. He fought to be a good dad, and he fought to take her away from me. That was a really hard time. But through the court, my last trial, my dad bought me a home, and he said, "I want you to be safe, and I want you to take this home. Can you come take a look at it?" And I took a look at it, and I felt like I could raise my kids in this one spot. So coming out of court, I remember just having these dreams of, I used to have dreams of just, like, a dark place, like, just no light at all. Nobody in there, but it was just a dark room, and I couldn't see anything. And now my dreams after my last trial were, I would open this door, and there was, like, no ground, but it was, like, the world in front of me. And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do after this. Now I have this freedom. What do I do with it? I didn't know how to live. So I would, in this new home that my parents had bought me, I would, still in protection mode, keep my kids in there. We didn't go to a mall. We haven't been to a movie theater. We'd go to the same grocery store with my mom. And I didn't feel scared when I was doing this. I felt conditioned when I was doing this. This was my life now. And this is how what freedom had meant to me. And so, I wouldn't introduce my kids to very many people. I wouldn't have people over, just really close people that I had known. And it just had that protection mode for a very long time. And through that time, my conversations with God were, I felt like I was doing what he had wanted me to, but I felt like I wasn't doing a good job. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, but at that very moment, all I could think about was protect, 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 and love. Protect and love your kids. This is all they have. So my dad one day, who was a sergeant in the military, he's a very nice guy, a very loving man, but he doesn't talk very much. And when he does, it's very intentional. It's very sweet. He had pulled me aside. He's like, "I can't see you like this anymore." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Dad?" And he's like, "You have to live your life." He's like, "You have to live your life. Please wake up." And I had no idea what he's talking about. And he's like, "Ellen, I'm going to do something. And I hope you make the right choice." He's like, "You can't live in this house anymore. You and your kids cannot live in this house anymore. You have to leave." I'm like, "Where am I going to go? You're really going to kick us out." And I was just like, I thought it was a joke. He's like, "You want to live in this house and you need to do something." I'm like, "Okay, what's that?" He's like, "You need to go hiking." And I thought it was a joke. I was laughing. I'm like, "Dad, I don't want to go hiking. Like, I'm too busy." He's like, "You have to go hiking." I'm like, "Where do you want me to go hiking?" And he said, "Mount Rainier." And Mount Rainier, growing up, was a place that was my escape. I would always go there. It was my place. If I were to sneak out of home, it would be going to Mount Rainier. But he's like, "Do you remember those times when you had hiked and just how you had felt?" And I was like, "That's so long ago. Yes, I'd love to hike." And he's like, "You don't remember." He's like, "You need to go hiking." I said, "I'm not going to go hiking. Maybe some other time I'll go." He's like, "Okay." So I left the home and I took my kids and we just had a fun day outside and came back to find that my keys wouldn't open the door anymore.
He changed the lock.
He did.
Ellen's dad changed the lock. He was serious. He was serious about that. He was serious about his proposition. Yes. Because of the love that he had for his daughter. You see, it's possible for us to live, to exist, but it could be somewhat of a zombie-like existence. Others may look at us and say, "That's not really living. There's so much more to life than what we know, what we see, what we're doing." And in a way, I think, Ellen, that's how God sees us, mm-hmm. in a way. As a loving father, as your loving father, maybe somewhat of an analogy that we can draw from this. When he sees us living, there's so much more. You're living in black and white. When this is a high definition, full color spectrum world.
Absolutely.
And sometimes God puts us in situations to get us out, to wake us up. To nudge us or maybe push us to go on that hike. A hike may be something to you because it meant something to you, Ellen. A hike may mean something else to you as you listen today. But it's getting out to do what it takes to go to another level in life. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Do you like hiking? You know, taking long walks in the mountains. Are you a mountain person or are you a water person? If you had a choice, would you like surfing or would you like or water sports or would you like to spend time up in the beautiful mountains? Well, there was a special mountain, Mount Rainier, that was very meaningful to Ellen D. And her father encouraged her in not so many words to propel her to out of love. To live the life that he knew that she was capable of living. It's really a story of God's grace, God's love. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Ellen D., who has been so gracious to share with us. Ellen, take us back to your dad's proposition and your resolve to go hiking.
So I came back with my kids and knocked on the door, tried to open it with my key, and the locks were changed. I couldn't get in. My dad on the other side of the door, there's a door blocking us. He said yes. I was like, Dad, I have the kids. He's like, you have to go hiking. And I'm like, you're serious? He's like, I am. And I just still didn't believe him. I'm like, okay, I'm Dad, I can't go hiking right now. And we slept in the car. We slept outside in the car. And yes, we didn't have fun with my kids, but we slept in the car. I'm like, okay, this guy's serious. Next morning, wake up, knock, 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 knock. Yes, I'm going to go hiking, Dad. I'm going to go hike. I'm going to go Mount Rainier. It was super early in the morning. And he's like, okay, I'll watch the kids for you. And I drove there, and I'm just having flashbacks of, like, my childhood at Mount Rainier, how much I loved it. It's always been a dream of mine to summit this mountain. And I remember just driving there, just having all these thoughts of from that childhood of having these dreams and goals to the abusive relationship to today. Like, how did I get here? Just questioning and still very, like, have guards all around me. Very in this protection mode. Even hiking all the way up. So I chose a trail. It's called the Skyline Trail. And it's a trail that actually takes you to the top of the mountain. So the top of the mountain is 14,000 feet. But you stop midway at 12,000 and you camp there. But hiking up there, I had my head down the entire time. I was looking and I was just looking at my feet and not seeing anything around me, but just thinking. I had so much thoughts in my mind. I didn't just, even at times, just talking to myself like, gosh, you know, like, I can't believe this. And okay, I'm still alive. And just talking and thinking. And finally, I was just going to take a break. And didn't realize that I'd made it to Camp Muir, which is the 12,000 feet. And I stopped and I put my bag down. And I remember I turned around and I just saw, like, this big world in front of me. And at that very moment, you know, I know that I'd always had talked to God and had this relationship with Him, but I didn't... In that season of my life, I was still so stuck. I wasn't using the freedom that was given to me in the best way possible. And so I just sat there and I looked at everything and I just started thinking, like, seeing everything down below me was so small. And I'd felt so big up in this, on top of this mountain, like in the middle of the mountain. Just, this world is so much bigger than this small problem, Ellen. And hiking back down, I was looking up and I was looking around and just really feeling and I remember just saying up there, thank you, God, I know now. And I was hiking back down and just looking at the trees, even saying, man, these trees are so beautiful. They stand so tall. They go through storms. They go through winter and sunny days. They go through people like kicking them or trying to knock them down, but they stand so tall and they make this world a beautiful place. And I remember thinking that I want to be just like that. And so I was on fire every weekend, every day, every moment that I could. I was going back to Mount Rainier just to receive this feeling, to build this feeling up. To build me up, because it was building me up again. And anyways, when I got back home, my dad didn't say anything, and he knew. And he just had hugged me, and he knew, and he said, thank you so much. And so every day since then, like, I've just been trying different things. I turn them into motivations. All these challenges, all the pains I've ever felt, I embrace them. Because I wouldn't be in this very place that I am today if it hadn't been for that experience. Do I think God wanted me to be abused? No, I don't think that was Him. That wasn't Him. But does He want me to see my life, in such a different way, in a loving, beautiful, graceful way where I can love the way I was built to love, this world, the people in it, and I was ready to do that. So after that hike, I was hiking all the time, doing different, jumped out of a plane 3 times. My son and I do archery. We do competitions together. We just started exploring the world because I was in search for more and more and more of this feeling, because I felt like this feeling is what my connection was, and I made the choice to continue to feel that connection. And I would surround, my choice was to surround myself with people, with things, with activities that would always keep that connection alive in me, because it's what it's, you know, being a single mom of two kids, I've always told myself since then was the best thing I can give my kids, the best thing I can give my kids is a foundation, my foundation of God. I don't want to tell them, I don't want to tell them how to live. I don't want to tell them, you know, what to do, what to believe, but I just want to be it. I want to live it, because they're going to also live it and see it and be it and believe it. And it's true. So yes, doing all those activities, I was also seeing a therapist who became my life coach. And I was seeing her for about a year and a half. And after a year of talking to her, she had a whiteboard, and she said, you know what? She's like, I've been talking to you for a year now, and I want you to see something. And she flipped over this whiteboard, and she's like, what do you see that's in common here? I'm like, oh, those are all things that I love to do. And she's like, yes, what else? And I couldn't see it. And she's like, those are all things that you love to do for other people. Nothing on here is something that you love to do for yourself. And I didn't realize that that I couldn't even, for example, like I couldn't have a glass of, I didn't take the time to have a glass of water when I woke up. So she made a list for me. She's like, okay, we're going to start from the basics. We're going to exercise this muscle in you and bring it back. Here's a list. For a month, I want you to, when you wake up every morning, I want you to have a glass of water. I want you to read for 5 minutes. And then I want you to brush your teeth. And I'm like, oh, that's so easy. Got home, and it was the hardest thing to do. I missed it, and I didn't have the glass of water, because, you know, I'd wake up and I'd make breakfast for my kids. I'd get them ready for school, take them to school, go to work, and just everything, like, was always on the go. And it's so easy to get lost in, you know, I don't want to say my kids are a distraction, but there are so many distractions around you, good or bad, and it's so easy to get lost in that, that I needed to go back to the basics, go back to my foundation, and make sure that that was intact.
Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And he also taught us to treat people the way we would want to be treated. And there is a moment of self-reflection that's needed, or that God shines the light on that. The quality or the extent of our love for others many times is rooted in not a narcissistic, unhealthy, you know, self-worship, but a healthy way of looking at ourselves. When we come back, Ellen, share with us, as it started with a glass of water, 5 minutes of reading, what muscles needed to be strengthened in order to develop self-respect, a healthy self-image, in a way that not only helps you raise your kids, but now enabling you to reach other people for the love of God. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
At the beginning of our show, I had mentioned that Ellen D. Came to Hawaii from Seattle. But of course, there was a lot that went on in Seattle. She grew up in Germany up to the age of 11 and then moved to Seattle with her parents, father, and family in the military. But she's in Hawaii now, having gone through an ordeal that would be considered unspeakable, unimaginable, but she experienced it. And others experienced that too. We just don't talk about it very much. Ellen, how did you end up here, and what did God do when you came?
So while I was talking to my therapist, you know, having the glass of water, exercising that muscle, I've learned that I was exercising how to, it was my mind and my heart that was exercising. So like hiking, all that, you know, you think that you're exercising all these other muscles, but it was really just expanding my heart to in different horizons and just opening it up more, and I needed to do that more. And I needed to do that more on me. And I, it's so hard to think about myself. It's so hard to talk about myself, but it's easy for me to do that, you know, for other people. I've always had felt like, gosh, you know, I'm being selfish when I think, like, you know, when I think or talk like that about myself. And I've learned that it's not, there's so much, we're all valuable. And I needed to find that in me. My therapist then, after, you know, exercising for the month of having the glass of water, reading for 5 minutes, and brushing my teeth in the morning, first thing in the morning, I became used to it. I started doing that. I'm taking that time for myself and just reflecting, and now I do many other things for myself. And so she had said, have you ever taken a vacation by yourself? If you could, where would you go? And I said, Hawaii. My family grew up here. And I was like, no, I've never taken vacation by myself. And I was kind of scared to. I really haven't been without my kids. I'd just been on this go, 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 working at this company and working for my kids and just all these things. And she's like, you should think about that. And so I did. For New Year's, I came here, and I didn't do much. I tried not to do all the touristy stuff. I wanted to just come here and relax. But just doing that, it was a different kind of relax. It was the same feeling that I had when I went hiking up at Mount Rainier. You see, hiking up Mount Rainier, I felt really strong. I felt in love. I felt very peaceful. I felt calm. And I had no fear in me, and all that with no words. And I label that as a connection. So I was in search of that same feeling, that connection, and all the things that I would do. When I came here to Hawaii, that I had felt that connection, I had felt that feeling. I didn't do much, but I felt my heart was strong. I was peaceful, I was graceful, I was in love, and I wasn't scared. And I just had recognized that feeling, and something was tugging at my heart. And when I left there, I kind of cried. I was like, gosh, I can't leave this. What is this? It was bigger than hiking. It was bigger than anything else. And so came back 2 months later just to test, try that feeling again. And it was there. It was stronger. So I came back home and I was like, I'm going to move to Hawaii. I mean, I did 6 months later. And I packed a luggage and took my daughter with me. And my son was later to come, which he's here now. But I really do feel like it was meant for my daughter and I to come here alone first, because I've been in such a protection mode with her that now is building a relationship with her, building a certain kind of trust, building a different foundation, making that visible for her. And my daughter, she, through all this, you know, she's been through a lot. And yes, she's young, but she has a disability. She has post-traumatic stress, a lot of anxiety. And, you know, when you hear anxiety, it's just anxiety. Well, for her, it's a different kind. Like her feelings, her anxiety is toward adults, toward other humans. And she wants to love and meet people, but she doesn't know how to. And so her communication is, you know, she doesn't have strong communication yet. So she communicates through, like, movement and, like, really excited or and just babbling. But she, I mean, she could talk, but a lot of people can't understand her. But I can. And as clear as can be one day, you know, when we moved here, still feeling that feeling. I miss my family so much, and we'd sat in this home. I did research on the internet. I found my home on the internet. And I don't know why, you know, many people ask, why are you moving to Hawaii? How did you choose that place? You're just going to pick a home off the computer? I'm like, yes. And I did. And I came here just feeling so confident in that, no fear. I think I was more scared that I wasn't scared. Anyways, when I moved out here, crying in my home every night, like, what did I do? What am I going to do with the luggage? I have nothing. I didn't even have a pillow. I had to go, like, borrow a pillow from a friend. And she one day just, like, hugged me. And as clear as can be with her style of communication, she said, God loves you. God loves everybody. And I just, like, what? Who taught you that? What do you mean? And I'm like, Tally, who taught you that? And she's just, like, smiling and laughing. She's like, God loves you. And she's just so joyful. It's like, yes, you're right, Tally. God loves everybody. And then she'd stop. And then so, she, you know, take her to school every morning, and didn't have a car then, but would, after school, I'd say, you know, where do you want to go? And we'd walk to the Kahala Mall every day, because that was, you know, just to run her around, have ice cream, eat, and just kind of hang out. I felt so comfortable being at a mall, and I honestly hadn't been to a mall in 6-7 years, and so it was really cool just being out there. But she'd seen a little girl jumping on some stairs, and she'd say, I want to go jump on those stairs. I'm like, okay. So we'd run up the stairs, just 3 steps, run up the stairs, run down, run up and down, run up and down. And we'd sit there and just eat on snacks and go home. And we would do that for 2 weeks. But the stairs, you know, we'd go higher and higher. And finally, I'd gone up there and I'd met Pastor Renee. And I know I didn't go to church for a while, but I went a couple weeks later. And I remember just walking to C4 with my arms crossed, because I didn't want to feel like I was being sold anything.
This is the church there at Kahala Mall.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to feel judged. I didn't want to feel like I was going there to be sold anything. I just wanted to, I knew who I was praying to. I knew my God. Like, I just had felt like I didn't want to lose that. And I want to hang on. I just had, not only was I protecting my kids, but I was protecting myself. I was protecting my faith. And Pastor Fernando had talked about, the first thing that he said was to be fit. And fit stood for forgiveness, inspiration, and trust. And he had related being faithful, like your faith, to a marathon. And I was so intrigued by that, because I had run many marathons and I used to race. So he compared it to that. And anyways, we were focusing on forgiveness, and he said, I want you to do something. We're going to pray. We're going to pray a little bit different. So we closed our eyes, and he's like, when you pray, I want you to ask for forgiveness for the things that you've done. I want you to ask for forgiveness from God for the things that you've done. And I was used to doing that. I knew how to do that very well. Then he said, now I want you to ask, I want you to pray about who you need to forgive. And I had never done that before, because I had always felt like that would have been maybe selfish of me, but I did that, and then he said, I want you to pray about who needs to forgive you, and I also had never done that, And so, like running in a marathon, you know, you want to run as light as possible. You don't want to carry all this weight, this baggage, because you want to make it to the finish line as free as possible. And then that, like, being fit, you know, forgiveness, it was a huge part of the weight that I had, that I need to let go of that weight so that I can run free and reach my goal. After doing that, I had felt so different. My heart had opened up, and, you know, I walked in there with my arms crossed, and I walked out just giving Pastor Jared a hug. And I can't stop coming back. I keep going there. And then now, I talked to Pastor Renee, and just, I was like, I want to do anything and everything that I can in this church, anything. And I started hosting and serving almost immediately that I was attending the church. Hadn't even been baptized yet. And I was just hosting and serving, and I had felt like what Pastor Jared had done for me at that time, what Pastor Renee, all these people that were doing for me, a simple hello, a smile, and a hug, had healed me and helped me on my journey, that I wanted to do the same for people. I just started hosting and really want my hugs, my hellos, my smile at you is so intentional. I pray about them every night, that when I give these to people, that they are healed by it somehow, that they're touched by it. And, you know, like, after church, after I serve, I clean the church, I'll vacuum it, I'll put the chairs away, I'll sweep up all the crumbs, I'll take the garbage out, I'll wipe even the doorknobs, because it's so important that, like, I love C4. I love how I feel. I love the family that I had built there, and Jesus had treated his church like his wife, and I want to do that too. I want to treat the church. I want to clean it so that people can feel valuable, because this church is valuable.
Honor, reverence, surrender, healing, restoration. The amazing story of Ellen D. And she has been so gracious to share that with us today. Ellen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, we so greatly appreciate you. Dear one, I hope, as you've heard Ellen, that you were moved by her life story. You know, there's God's good timing is absolutely perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, as Ellen has done. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've put a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Ellen D. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, a special thank you to Serena DeLuca. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave